In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are here at the threshold of the great and holy fast. And we have been prepared by the church for this for a number of weeks. I want to begin today's sermon with a question to see what frame of mind we're in. Something of a riddle, perhaps. What is the only number in English whose letters appear in alphabetical order? Mathisha, you can't answer this one. She gave me this riddle. No one know? Okay. I'll ask you another question. How long is the average pregnancy? How many weeks? 40. 40. That's the answer to the riddle as well. And in what year was the standard work week set at 40 hours? 1940. Interesting. 1940. During the bubonic plague, which gripped Europe during the Middle Ages, ships would be isolated in the harbor for a number of days before the passengers could go ashore. How long was that? 40 days, that's right. In fact, the Italian word for 40 is quaranta, hence quarantine. The number 40 has significance not just in these historic worldly things, but much more so in the historic biblical things. We hear the number 40 associated with Moses. After he killed the Egyptian, he was 40 years in the desert. The Israelites were 40 years in the Sinai Peninsula before they entered into the Promised Land. Israel served the Philistines for 40 years before Samson came to deliver them. The flood covered the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. The spies who were sent to scope out the Promised Land did so in a 40-day period. Goliath taunted Saul's army before David's victory for 40 days. And with Christ himself, we see a 40-day period between his nativity and presentation in the temple. We just celebrated that season, December 25th through February 2nd. There's a 40-day period between the transfiguration and the cross, 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension. And of course, very fresh in our memory, very prominent for us, is the 40-day period that the Lord fasted after his baptism. And at the end of those 40 days, he defeated the devil's temptations. Now, 40 is a number of fullness. And great Lent is given to us so that we might have the fullness of repentance, fullness of communion with God. Today, we commemorate not only Forgiveness Sunday, but also we remember Adam's expulsion from paradise. How long was Adam in paradise? No one knows. I'm glad you didn't answer 40. But actually, some of the fathers do speculate that it could have been 40 days. Because Christ comes as the new Adam, who succeeds in everything that Adam failed in. Some of the fathers believe that Adam was in the garden for 40 days. And he sinned. Christ fasted for 40 days, and he overcame sin. This expulsion of Adam from the garden speaks to us very, very powerfully about our relationship with God. Because for those 40 days, or for whatever time period that was when Adam walked with God in the garden, there was communion between God and man, and communion amongst the human race. But when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they were separate from him, and they became separate from one another. And the divisions multiplied, generation after generation. The world continues to be divided and continues to fall. And yet in Christ we have restoration. The world changes its direction. And that's what the fast is given to us to do, to change our direction, to turn back to God, to enter once again into paradise, to walk with God in the garden. We remember this today as we set out on these 40 days in which the Lord gives us the command to fast. Like he gave Adam and Eve the commandment to fast, not to partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but to partake of the tree of life. This is what we seek to do in the 40 days. St. John Chrysostom, who has written so many wonderful things, speaks to us about four things that we can focus on during these 40 days. He doesn't even mention fasting, because that's a given. He speaks to us about prayer, about almsgiving, about humility, and about forgiveness. And it's this final point that we'll focus on today, forgiveness. In the Lenten Synaxarion, we read about how the forgiveness of our sins is very much tied to how much we forgive others their sins. And this comes right from the gospel. If you forgive men their trespasses, so will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. The Lenten Synaxarion says, we should know that today we ask forgiveness from our brothers and sisters in Christ so that we might begin the race in the stadium of Great Lent unhindered by any animosity. As long as we live self-centered lives, we cannot forgive our neighbor. Our ego will not allow it. Once our lives are God-centered, however, we are able to forgive others as God forgives us. Let us remember that God's mercy and forgiveness to us is often hidden in our mercy and forgiveness to others. Our Lenten journey is not an isolated or individual affair, but a quote-unquote family event. Therefore, we are reminded in today's reading from the Holy Gospel that unless there is mutual forgiveness between one another, there can be no true reconciliation with God. At the end of the liturgy today, we'll have that rite of forgiveness in which we come before the Gospel book, we venerate it, and we ask God's forgiveness. And then we'll make a circle and ask each other's forgiveness, so that everyone, by the end of today, will have asked the Lord for forgiveness and asked each other forgiveness and offered that same forgiveness. This is an extremely powerful rite in the Church. And the Church, in her wisdom, gives it to us right at the beginning of Great Lent, so that our struggles will bear fruit and not be in vain. Because our struggle is one of reconciliation with God and with one another. That's what the kingdom is all about. One classic literary work, Crime and Punishment by Fyodor Dostoevsky, we hear of a character, Rodion Raskolnikov. Who's read that work, Crime and Punishment? Very beautiful work. And Rodion commits two murders. And he begins to go insane. He begins to go mad because of these murders that he's committed, these people that he's killed. And he has this conversation with this prostitute who was pious. Sometimes life is contradictory. And her name is Sophia. And in this conversation, Sophia gives him advice. If he's to be free from his insanity, if he's to make peace with God, with the world and himself, he's told by Sophia to go to the crossroads and to bow down and to kiss the earth, which he has defiled by his sins. And then to bow in every direction and to confess his sin. Rodion struggles to hear these words because he knows if he's held accountable for his sins, he'll be punished. Hence the name, Crime and Punishment. But he knows that he He can't escape his madness, his insanity, any other way. And so he finally does this. Then he goes off into Siberia into exile. But interestingly, Sophia, this pious prostitute, gives him something. She gives him her cross. And not only her cross for him to wear, but also she gives him herself. And she goes into exile together with him so that they could struggle together, so they could repent before God together. This image of Raskolnikov bowing in every direction is so powerful. And it speaks to us about our desire to be forgiven as well. Who doesn't want to be forgiven? You want to be forgiven by everyone, everywhere, everything, and every time, right? Everyone, everywhere, everything, and every time. If you will, the four dimensions of life. But the church reminds us so powerfully that if we want this fullness of forgiveness, then we have to also be willing to forgive everyone, everywhere, everything, and every time. Think about these four directions, these four facets of forgiveness, and how we're meant to do this fully. How hard it is to forgive everyone fully, everywhere, everything, and every time, fully. On a scale of 1 to 10, we think about ourselves. How much do we actually really have that deep forgiveness? God looks down upon us from heaven on this day and during these 40 days, much like Raskolnikov at those crossroads. And he looks to see what we're going to do, how deep our repentance will be, how full it will be. Will it be for the 40 days? Will it be to the scale of 10? Will it be in these four facets? You could picture the vantage point of God looking down from heaven, directly down. Wouldn't he want to see us bow in every direction to the scale of 10? And what would that illustrate for us? God looking down, bowing in every direction, 10, 10, 10, 10, the fullness, 40. It would make the sign of the cross, wouldn't it? Forgiveness is hard. It's not easily granted. It's not easily received. Forgiveness is really the life of the cross. It's through the cross that God lets us know the full depth of his forgiveness and his love. It's through his suffering for us. And he asks us, if we're to follow him, to fast like he did for 40 days, to carry our cross like he did, to love like he did, like he does, to forgive like he did, like he does, everyone, everywhere, everything, and every time. Let Great Lent be a time of full repentance for us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.